Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I suppose that my general approach to the show is to lighten the mood and make you laugh and entertain, and talking about skyrocketing gas prices isn't exactly doing that. However, it is also good when we can vent and commiserate as friends. I hope that we are, in a manner of speaking, friends here on After Hours. So it's also a topic that a lot of people are talking about, dealing with, getting frustrated over, and I am in the same boat. Like a dodo, it hurt me to part with more than $55 to fill my, it actually didn't even fill my gas tank. It was probably just over three quarters of a tank. On Tuesday morning, I did a U-ey on the highway. I was going north. I turned and went south so I could get the cheapest gas in this one stretch in northern New Jersey. That same gas station leapt from $4.47 per gallon to $4.87 per gallon on my way to work tonight. And I almost drove off the road when I saw it. And so the price of gas near me has jumped 60 cents a gallon since Monday. And I'm sure that that's essentially par for the course around the country. So I thought we would just go ahead and throw it out there. It's $4.87 where I fill up in northern New Jersey. How much are you paying where you live and work? Now, for those of you who are just posting either on Twitter or Facebook with an amount, I appreciate that, except it really is provides us better context when you can tell us where it is that you're listening and so where it is that you're purchasing your gas. And I know diesel is even worse. My mom actually drives a 3/4 ton truck. It sounds funny, right? Except in Texas, that's not funny because everybody does it. But my mom and her husband have a 3/4 ton truck because they pull their camper. They have a 39-foot fifth wheel, and that's what they do when they travel on vacation. They're getting ready actually to go on vacation after Memorial Day when mom is done working, mom is done teaching. And so they pull this truck. Well, Mike drives, my mom's husband drives roughly 45 minutes one way to get to work in Houston. And so he drives, it's awful. I hate driving it, but when I'm in town, this is what I drive. A Prius. It's no street cred with a Prius, except right now that those puppies get great gas mileage, obviously. And so I have to drive this Prius around. They've had it for so long too. And they just keep like making sure it's running. I don't think the windshield wipers work anymore, but whatever. So Mike drives the Prius and my mom, who only drives a few miles back and forth to school, drives this 3/4 ton truck. It's a gorgeous truck, by the way. Anyway, so she has to put diesel in the truck, and obviously it costs more than $100 now to put a full tank of diesel into your vehicle, regardless of where you are. So it's astounding, and it's in your face, and I think it's only going to get worse according to the economic forecast for the summertime. As more people travel, it's just, we know that summer, more people are on the roads. You know, in the New York City area, which is where our CBS Sports Radio headquarters are located, fewer people are using mass transit because there's been a spike in crime on mass transit pretty badly. And so because of that, fewer people are taking trains and subways and more people are driving, which means the traffic is just insane. And so, yeah, it's like a catch-22. flying is more expensive too because the price of fuel is going up. And so airline fares between supply and demand and the prices are also on their way up. It's almost like the best option when I take time off this summer, which I don't have any plans right now, but when I do take time off this summer, I think for the first time in my life, I'm going to do a staycation. None of my family is in Northern New Jersey. I'm only in the area because of the job. I have a few friends, of course, but I generally don't stay put when I take time off because I want to go see people that I love and I'm related to. But gosh, I might just be doing a bunch of home projects around the house this summer and taking off a full week and staying home. I mean, Penny would like that. I think she'd be okay.
Gas is insane. Flights are insane. I'm sure cruises are going to start going up with all the diesel, everything. I mean, staycation honestly doesn't sound like the worst thing in the world right now.
It really doesn't. I guess I just stay home and do some hiking in the area.
That's cool.
Yeah, go to the beach.
Just watch out for bears.
Oh, I'm not afraid of bears. Anyway, so we're asking you how much you're paying for gas right now and where you are, just so we can commiserate together. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. So our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS. Also on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. You can find either one of those. And then also on our Facebook page or Twitter, either one, you can send your questions for Ask Amy anything. Now, here's the dealio, yo. We actually have to pivot, because we had a bit of a conflict and a conundrum with our normal time slot for Ask Amy Anything. You know, it's always part of the hump show. For those of you who listen at 1:40 a.m. Pacific time, 4:40 a.m. Eastern time, and you can figure out the other time zones. That's when we normally do the Ask Amy Anything questions that you have sent. Well, here's the problem. We've got a guest who's coming on live at 4:40 Eastern time on this Wednesday morning. When we get there, that's when he needed to appear because he's got some other conflicts. And so when we get to our guest, that's normally where we do Ask Amy Anything. And so we're going to have to move it. But it kind of led to the idea of, hey, why don't we start moving it around so other people can hear what we do on the Hump Show? Because again, many of you tune in at very specific times, maybe an hour here, 30 minutes there, on your way to work or when you're getting ready for work. Maybe we wake you up with a boom. And so whatever it is, we're about to move it. We're going to throw you for a loop. So you're going to think you're listening to the wrong hour. So So my favorite friend scene of all time. So producer, except for, well, never mind, doesn't matter. One of my favorite friend scenes of all time. So James, when did we decide that you're going to be asking Amy anything?
3:40 Eastern, maybe, in this hour? We had it down between that hour and the top of the...
Yeah, no, I don't think that's enough time. I feel like we've thrown people for a loop with asking them about gas prices. And so because of that, we probably need to give them a little more time. Although you tell me if you already have enough questions.
I think waiting a little more for some more to come in is a good idea.
Okay, so then you're about 50. In fact, what it takes to just only fill my tank up to half. 50 minutes from now, we're going to do Ask Amy Anything, top of next hour. So on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, while you're sending your gas prices, and then also on our Facebook page, we can take your questions for Ask Amy, and we're going to move it. So those of you who are used to it in one spot, well, you're going to have to adjust similar to us. All right, so 855-212-4227. We'll get back to your calls. Wanted to, though, make sure you knew that Tiger Woods is back, baby. Oh, my gosh. We've been saying that for 10 years. It's almost become a joke to say Tiger is back, right? But he is going to golf in the PGA Championship, and he's actually looking forward to walking Southern Hills in Tulsa, Oklahoma, a site where he's had some success. He won the PGA there in 2007. because it's not going to be like the mountains at Augusta National.
The first mountain you climbed was Everest. I mean, that's the steepest golf course you're going to play. And that was the first one you climbed. And so it's going to get flatter and better. But still, I still have tough days, and things aren't going to be as easy as people might think. But I feel like I'm doing better. I'm having more days in which are better, more positive.
So Tiger admits that starting off with Augusta National and the Masters and looking for another green jacket, that was his toughest challenge because the course itself is so physically demanding. And now that it's in his rearview mirror and he continues to work on his health and his fitness, well, how much did the Masters take out of him? What was it like to return at Augusta National?
The thing that I was frustrated with is that it deteriorated as the week went on. I got more and more tired and more fatigued. I didn't have the endurance that I wanted. And now, I mean, I shouldn't expect it because I didn't earn it. I didn't go out there and I haven't done the work, but we're able to put in a little bit more work, and it's only going to get better as time goes on.
And so what type of work has he put in since the Masters? Remember, he made the cut, and at one point he was in the top 10, though as the demands of walking that course took its toll and his endurance waned, obviously you saw him fade and he posted some pretty high numbers. But post-Masters weekend, how did he recover?
There was a huge lull Monday. That was it. Monday, it was not fun. It hurt. A lot of ice baths and just trying to get the swelling out of there. And then we went back at it leg day on Tuesday, and we kept going from there. And said, let's go.
Leg day. Most of us do Taco Tuesday. Tiger was doing leg day. Except the thing is, how do you do leg day when you've got metal in one of your legs? I've never really considered that before hearing him say leg day. That reminds me, actually, the guide that was leading our horseback ride when I was in North Carolina last week, he said one reason why it's obvious why you don't hang out in the water when there's lightning, right? I mean, that's pretty obvious. But he said he can't be out in the lightning because his legs are made of titanium. So I'm not sure what kind of an injury, maybe because he fell off horses in the past. He was from Oklahoma. He didn't really specify why, but he did say he had titanium plates in his legs. And so that was another reason why he couldn't be out in a thunderstorm.
That's horrifying.
I know. It was a little scary. Anyway, he was great. He still took us on a good ride. So Tiger Woods feels like his endurance is better. And by all accounts, his practice rounds have gone well. He was asked at the end of this press conference about his goals and what would make this a successful weekend in Southern Hills. And he said a W. So I'm hoping. I ended up watching his entire Sunday round at the Masters, even though he was not in contention going back to April, hoping that he plays through the weekend. And I still say this is a major miracle. We're talking, what now, 15 months since a car crash that could have claimed not just a leg, but was life-threatening there for a while. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It's always interesting to hear what some of the other top-flight golfers have to say about Tiger and Phil Mickelson, who we will get to, but Rory McIlroy, I mean, he's one of the best golfers in the world, and yet they still look at Tiger Woods and go, whew.
He's stubborn. He's determined. You know, this is what he lives for. He lives for these major championships. You know, if he believes he can get around 18 holes, he believes he can win.
Everybody on the PGA Tour knows that the profile increases when Tiger is playing, but that also goes for Phil Mickelson. I've been in galleries that followed Tiger around to the point where it was a mad crush of people and you really couldn't move, but not at a major. So I've never followed Tiger at a major. I've only followed him at other tournaments. Still though, it would get to the point where you could no longer maneuver in these massive galleries. But I tell you, the maddest crush I've ever been in at a golf tournament, the U.S. Open on Long Island a couple years ago, and I was following Phil with thousands of other people. It was insane, total insanity. He is just as popular He's obviously a household name. And so when Phil Mickelson is playing, there's a different buzz, similar to Tiger Woods. Tiger knows that. Rory knows that. Everyone knows that. And at the PGA Championship, he's the defending champion. He won this last year in dramatic fashion. The only major winner at 50 years old. The oldest ever. But because of his comments about the Saudi Arabian Golf Tour, and as I said last night, because he played a high-stakes game of chicken with the PGA Tour and lost, as in lost and flamed out and got embarrassed and humiliated. He did it to himself. He's choosing to stay away. He's not even defending his title. And Rory and Tiger, they both, and other golfers, John Rahm was saying the same thing. I'm very close to Phil. I wish he was here. Rory says this should be a crowning achievement for him to return. And yet he chooses to stay away. So this, with my apologies to Tiger, is still a bigger story than Tiger Woods playing again.
I think he should be here this week and you know, celebrating what a monumental achievement he achieved last year. So it's unfortunate. It's sad.
It's always disappointing when the defending champion's not here. Phil has said some things that I think a lot of us who are committed to the tour and committed to the legacy of the tour have pushed back against. And he's taken some personal time. And we all understand that. But I think that some of his views on how the tour could be run, should be run, been a lot of disagreement there. But as we all know, as a professional, we miss him being out here. I mean, he's a big draw for the game of golf. He's just taking his time, and you know, we all wish him the best when he comes back. Obviously, we're going to have difference of opinions that how he sees the tour, and we'll go from there.
Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson have long been rivals, and for a long time they did not get along. That's well documented. They've changed that. They've gotten older. They both matured. They recognize the value of the other, and also their place in golf. And to hear Tiger talk about how I wish he was here, he needs to be here. Well, you know that the sentiments essentially of most of the PGA Tour. So it's unfortunate that he's not there, and I wish that he would just rip off the Band-Aid in return, but he's chosen not to. By the way, Tiger Woods, Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, that is the opening round grouping at Southern Hills on Thursday. How about that? They will play together actually the first 2 days, which is really cool. You want to talk about must-see, can't-miss group right there. Tiger, Rory, Jordan, who's playing a lot better. He didn't win at the Byron Nelson, has always indicated how much he wants to win at that tournament, which is near where he grew up. But he's put himself in contention now. So PGA Championship tees off on Thursday. Yes, Tiger. No, Phil. On Twitter, After Hours CBS, you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Also on our Facebook page. So we're now about 45 minutes away. We're moving it. We're going to throw you for a loop. A lot of you are still weighing in with gas prices and what you're paying, and I hope that it's somewhat therapeutic for you to weigh in with an army of listeners and others around not just the United States, but Canada as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, our hump show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the...
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
After Hours Podcast.
High in the zone, Manson makes the shot. Now Manson lets it go. He scores!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Connor McGahey on Avalanche Radio. And I'm telling you what, it took every shot, probably more than once, that the Avs had in their arsenal to get that goal and to get the win at the expense of St. Louis Blues goalie Jordan Binnington. How about this? I found a new hashtag that I like. Actually, I think I may coin it. Hashtag be like Binnington. Jordan Binnington was nearly impenetrable. In fact, Josh Manson had to go top shelf, and Binnington was so angry at himself. But about 8 minutes into overtime, this is after Binnington records 51 saves. 51 saves. He was exhausted. Colorado also tagged the post three times and hit the crossbar twice. So essentially, they were stonewalled by Binnington for a good portion of the night. And the way that he played reminded me, in fact, the tone of this game, how overwhelming the puck possession and the number of shots in favor of Colorado reminded me of Calgary-Dallas Game 7, in which the only reason that the Flames didn't run away with that win is because of Jake Oettinger. Well, I was listening to this game on my way in, and Connor McGahey made the point that if not for Binnington, as well as the iron in the goal, the Avalanche might have been up 10-1. I mean, it was one of those nights where Binnington not only was incredible, but they kept being just an inch too high, an inch too right, an inch too left. Ultimately, though, the Avalanche win yet another game against the St. Louis Blues and have not yet lost in this postseason. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Ali, who's in Miami.
Hey, Law, what's good?
Everything, except for gas prices.
Yeah, right, for real. I'm paying like about $4.69. That's what I'm paying. But yo, it's always good to hear from you. I know it's been a little minute to have it on your show, but definitely want to talk about the Heat. You know, I've been talking about it all year. The game that they showed tonight, the level of intensity, the level of adjustments that Spo made. I love it. I really feel that the Miami Heat are really setting themselves up to win the finals, and they have home field, right? Home court throughout the finals now that the Suns lost. So it's really like, you know, it's an incredible season to see Oladipo coming through. The way that the teams have adjusted, I can't wait till game two to see Smart. I want to see Boston 100% against us. But at the end of the day, you know, I feel like we're very deep and that we have better coaching than anybody in the NBA.
I, I mean, you can say that, but that's hard. There's no way to determine who has better coaching. Steve Kerr is a damn good coach. Ime Udoka is his first year, but he's been an assistant in other places, and we know that he was really the architect and the reason why the Celtics were able to turn it around. And then you think about Dallas, too. Like, I get it. But yeah, in terms of experience, I mean, Steve Kerr has just as much experience as Eric Spoelstra and has more titles.
Yeah, I mean, we had a coach of the year, you know, lose a game 7, you know, by such a ridiculous amount. It was embarrassing. I mean, to see how Scott Spoelstra has been able to adjust throughout the year, not even the playoffs, just even the season, he's able to adjust without players, you know, through injuries, and he's able to adjust to his component, you know, like to his competitors that are going against him, and the deep level of the Miami Heat have. We have not only a sixth man of the year, now we have another guy, seventh man, right? Oladipo. I mean, he's coming off the bench. This is definitely a year that's going to be, you know, written, just a storyline of Oladipo and how he came back. It's incredible. And the level of coaching that Spo has portrayed is just, you know, one of a kind to me.
He certainly is, along with Pat Riley. He's formidable as a leader, and they've got the right people around too that they love for that culture. So
Pat Riley's the godfather, you know, and I love watching him, and I see him sitting courtside even on the away games, and he has no emotion. Him and Alonzo literally sit there, and everybody will be cheering, and everybody will be going crazy, and him and Alonzo sit there with no emotion. I mean, they have such intensity, you know, even just sitting, you know, in the crowd. I can only imagine how much intensity they have in practice. It's just beautiful to see the development of the Miami Heat and how deep and from where they've came and how much they've developed throughout the year. And to see them go through this process, we've seen, you know, Jimmy Butler have, you know, 0 40-point games throughout the season and have 5 in the playoffs. Jimmy Butler, you know, he just transforms himself into a superstar player in the playoffs. And that it's all about, you know, Heat mentality and Heat culture. And that's why we're going to win the championship.
Okay. You know how much I love your predictions. Thank you, Ali. Good to talk to you about the Miami Heat. And certainly that third quarter was impressive, the way that they manhandled the Celtics with that 24-2 run. And obviously the steals and the blocks that turned into offense on the other end. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Rich is listening in Chicago. Rich, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Amy. How are you?
I'm good.
I have 2 quick things for you before I get into the NBA. First thing is that the answer here is $5.40 a gallon in Chicago.
Ouch.
So that's no bargain here either.
I don't think it's a bargain anywhere.
Well, I'm originally from Florida. I've been here 23 years. You know, the only place you can go, and you're right about that, is in the deep south, the gas prices are reasonable compared to the national average, I guess. The other thing is, your producer commented, and as did you, what are you going to do on vacation? And you said hiking. He said, you're scared of bears? You have something in common.
No, I'm not scared of bears.
Well, no.
Okay.
Here's the joke. No one in the NFL is scared of bears here either.
Oh, ha-ha.
You got something in common here. I want to talk about the playoffs, though. I'm a big Celtic fan, and I saw Butler with the Bulls for years. And I think you're going to see a different series. When you got Smart, the Defensive Player of the Year, out, Butler's going to go off on them by playing short. Plus, you got the big man in the middle who's out with COVID, the kid from Florida.
Al Horford.
Yeah, well, he's gone. And they played – here's kind of the diagnosis. Miami played a great game. Butler played great. But they have a lot of depth. They're underrated. They're a very good team. Boston played – I looked at the box score. Boston played 8 guys the entire game. And they were up at halftime and got blown out because you can't go 8 deep and only play 3 guys off the bench in the second half and not run out of gas. And that's exactly what happened. So, you know, if you get Horford back and Smart back, the way they both play defense, Butler, when he played here, he would go off on weak defenders. And that's kind of his history. He's great against the marginal teams. I'm still bullish. I actually predicted that the Celtics would lose game one, but took them in the series because they are playing shorthanded. But when the cavalry returns and they go to Boston for game 3, 4, and 5, I think you're going to see a whole different ball game. And I was interested in your comments about the matchups.
Well, obviously, without Marcus Smart and Al Horford, as I said earlier, you're losing their physical tenacity and the fact that they are not going to be intimidated and not going to be pushed around. But it's not just the fact that Celtics were missing two starters. It's also the fact that they just played a game 7 and a really physical series that went the distance against the Bucks. It ended on Sunday afternoon. They had to turn around and travel, and Miami had been off since Thursday. So you could tell the disparity there with the tired legs. PJ Tucker got hurt, but he kept playing. I guess Eric Spoelstra went to talk to him at halftime, and PJ said, "Don't even think about it. I'm not skipping the second half." But you know, they're shorthanded too, right? I mean, every team is missing players now, missing guys now, because it's that time of the year, and the wear and tear, the physical and mental fatigue. So there's been no Kyle Lowry for quite a while now for the Miami Heat. So they're missing a starter too. But yes, Al Horford and Marcus Smart, they set the tone for the defense. They make a major difference. So we'll see what happens moving forward. But we know that this is the Heat game plan. I mean, they want to bully their opponents mentally and physically.
Well, are you still there?
I work here.
No, I didn't know if I was cut off or not. You're right. They are hurt. But here's something, because I'm a realist about the Celtics, even though I'm a big fan. I'm not sure they would have gotten past Milwaukee if Batman and Robin were playing together.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, that's irrelevant because, again, every team's got those issues. So Chris Middleton wasn't playing, and they beat the Bucks. So who cares? That's old news now.
No, I know, but the analogy to me is that part of the reason that without Smart, I think Smart's comparable to Middleton, and they're playing Boston without their Chris Middleton. And I think if he gets back, and who knows, I haven't heard an update on his health status. You know, he's got a bad foot, and they play Wednesday. He probably won't be back for game 2 either.
I don't know about probably. I mean, he missed a game earlier in the playoffs, and so we'll see. It's something that I think that they were hoping they could give him the one night off, especially coming off the game 7. So we'll see what happens moving forward. But yeah, every team's dealing with it.
Yeah, don't count out the Celtics though. Okay,
I don't count on anyone. It's my job. It's my job to see things objectively. I appreciate that, Rich. Thanks for your phone call in Chicago. Good to have you. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, A-Law Radio. On our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. And we're hearing from all over North America. And I see one gentleman who responded from Japan. So we're getting international flavor, but certainly North America, about the gas prices and what you're paying at the pump right now. So it's good to have you with us and good to commiserate. Again, it's our hump show. We're changing it up. So top of the hour for Ask Amy Anything. Got a little more of the hoops and hockey. Also, Tom Brady is about to become a member of the dark side. That's what I tell athletes is happening when they join the media. And they always laugh at that, which is great. But he's not yet ready to align himself with said media. We'll explain coming up.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Brady back to throw on second and seven. Throws a deep ball. Got Evans open. And he's got it at the 10. Into the end zone. Touchdown. It didn't look like Jalen Ramsey knew where the ball was. And he also lost Evans, who got by him. And he's into the end zone to make it a one-score game with 3:20 to go.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Dave Pasch on Westwood One. Tom Brady, he is returning, in case you hadn't heard. Did I miss, by the way, an announcement, anything at all from Gronk? Has Gronk decided if he will be playing again come 2022? So we have not heard from Gronk, according to producer James, giving me the head shake.
Ooh.
I could hear it rattle from in here. So no Gronk yet, but Tom Brady for sure. And according to some of his teammates, like Vita Vea, this was never really a doubt. It's kind of funny to hear some of them talk about the fact that Tom Brady has nothing else to do with his life. This is his life.
I low-key kind of knew. That's the thing. I knew it.
How'd you know?
Huh? Because that, if you think about someone of that caliber to retire like that, just didn't really seem real to me.
You didn't buy it.
No. The thing about it is Tom Brady retiring, and he don't announce himself. He should do a farewell tour when he does.
He said he didn't want one, which was interesting.
What about doing for him in the locker room?
There you go. We're going to do a farewell tour for him. We're going to decide when he retires, and we will make sure that he gets his proper due. And what was it like then when Tom Brady, after retiring for a whole 40 days, showed up to play football again and chuck the rock around Cam Brate?
first time he came back to throw, he's like, I'm back, you know, like you could tell he was fired up to be there. I can't imagine like Tom not playing football, what he would be like. Like this is like when he's Tom Brady. So, like I said, we're just fired up to have him back. And yeah.
Though Tom Brady certainly has diversified his portfolio these days, where he's got a production company, he's working on, I think it's a Netflix series, but he's also got his finger in a bunch of other projects. Like there's a movie that is supposed to come out, and he did Man in the Arena, this 10-part series, which actually some of my friends who are not sports fans told me is really good. I've got some friends who recommended it to me. I haven't seen it. It's like, okay, do I watch real football or do I watch the series about Tom Brady and his past, which I think would be fascinating. It actually reminded me, what I've heard about it from friends, of the way that the Last Dance documentary played out and the type of buzz that it generated, because you got to hear from Michael Jordan in a way that we very rarely did over the course of him winning all of his championships, and what motivated him, what drove him, his memories of specific moments, very sharp memories of specific moments in his career. And so to get that same kind of perspective with Tom Brady, I understand would be really fascinating. And I would like to watch it. Just put it on the list. I had to take another hour of TV off my DVR last night because I was up to 98% and there were three more shows that I had to tape. Gosh, I don't know what happened to me this year. I watch no TV really, except for TV that has to do with sports. So right now, springtime, sports are running my life. It's a sporty spring. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Tom Brady is already game planning for his next career, right? So his next step post-football is laid out for him. You can believe the numbers or you cannot. There's some dispute about how accurate his salary is, or the reports of what he will make when he becomes Fox's, when he becomes the number one analyst for Fox, along with Kevin Burkhardt. The tune of, what is it, $37.5 million, so $375 million over 10 years. He may not even want to do it for 10 years. But that number's outrageous. I mean, it's outrageous. And yet, we know Fox can afford it, right? Because anyone who's associated with the NFL is making money hand over fist. Let's just be honest. I mean, they have plenty of money to be able to cover his salary. I just can't figure out yet if I think he's going to be good at this. It's not that he isn't smart and funny, but he's been so guarded his whole life with the media. And he's a little more open on his TikTok and his podcast and SiriusXM. And I guess if Jim Gray was in the booth with him, he would be Chatty Cathy. And maybe it won't take him long with Kevin Burkhardt. But the thing is, he's never been one to criticize teammates or even opponents. Right? He doesn't deliver bulletin board material. So can he all of a sudden flip that switch? That is what athletes tell me, former athletes tell me, is the hardest part. You know so many people who are still in the league, and you're guarded. You're careful what you say because you're not all Patrick Beverley, who will unload and unleash on anyone and anything. Draymond Green, he'll have no trouble making the jump to media because he doesn't care. Kevin Durant, I don't think he could monitor his language well enough, but Tom Brady doesn't criticize other athletes publicly. He's very respectful of them. And so I'm not sure how he's going to make this jump to media. And for now, he still considers the media to be the other side, right? So do we figure out where this came from? Right? So there's some type of a video that's running on social media in which Brady is talking about how he handles, now this is as a football player, but how he handles criticism when he sees it and hears it from other analysts on TV.
I just look at the TV and I go like this. You guys, you TV. Block out the noise because none of it matters. What we do is get back to what we did all year. Still not perfect, but football is not a game of perfect. I mean, we always expect to be at our best. We had a tough loss. You ignore what they think and you just move on, man. You fight for another day.
So if what he does is pull a Kyrie and double flip off the bird at the TV, and he says, F you, TV. I get it, because right now he's on the other side, but what happens when you're on the dark side, Tom Brady? Then what?
It's the dark side. Embrace it.
I don't know that Tom Brady is going to be so easily able to embrace it, and that's kind of my point, is that he's been at odds with the media. I mean, he plays nice with the media, but he understands the role that media plays more than other athletes. It doesn't mean he's used to collaborating. I think this could be a tough transition for him because, again, he's always been so respectful of opponents. As much as he wants to beat their asses, he's always been very respectful away from the field for the most part. I mean, he'll take digs on social media, but he's been so good at staying guarded for so long that it's not as easy as you think to flip that switch. And the fact that he is respectful, as opposed to being like a Pat Beverly who clearly has zero respect for for what anybody else is doing, well, it's just a different animal. So yes, it'll be fun to welcome Tom Brady to the dark side of the force. On Twitter, After Hours CBS, on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, you have mere moments. What? What am I talking about? Ask Amy anything. We're moving it. Usually, you have time. You can wait until 1:40 Pacific, 4:40 Eastern, 12:40 Matt the Musher time. You usually have plenty of time to contemplate, consider, craft your questions for Ask Amy Anything, but not tonight. Nope. Tonight, we're pulling a fast one. The bait and switch, baby. So Ask Amy Anything is next. If you have a question, a brilliant question, you better pose it now. Again, on Twitter or on Facebook. And a lot of you are weighing in with gas prices, wherever it is that you fill up your tank, either regular or premium or diesel. Yikes. We're commiserating together because misery needs company. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, The Hump Show on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.